here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine. Now, David, our next studio guest.
I think I've met this man once or twice before.
You obviously have. But you seem to have met almost all of most of our guests, David, so that doesn't surprise me. For our listeners, it's Crusader Hillis is here from Hares and Hyena. And Crusader's going to talk about the Midsummer program that Hares and Hyena has at the moment. But before we go there, Crusader, we'd like to go back a little bit and talk about yourself. Yep. And I suppose just get a bit of an idea about your background, where you started off. You know, how you started off, I suppose, in the sort of the arts, you know, yep, literature type area. So where did you start off and what have you been doing up till now, basically?
Oh, look, I think after leaving the country and growing up on a farm, I ended up meeting Roland, my partner, and also the partner at Hares and Hyenas at university in my first week. We just sort of have hung out ever since and got involved in lots of things like the punk scene and bands, and then it went into arts, and we both worked for Melbourne Festival for a little while, and I ended up staying on there for 19 years. And during that time, also I worked with community newspapers like Melbourne Star Observer and a few other things like that.
So your uni days, I suppose, what were you actually doing at uni besides...
I was just doing the least amount of work I possibly could to pass each year.
So being part of Melbourne Festival, and you were part of it for a long time, you would have been there, you know, like, in the early days and its huge growth.
Yeah, well, from the very first artistic director right through to... Christy Edmonds' second year in 2006. I think I left at the end of 2005 and went to Gasworks after that.
Yeah. So, you know, like, how important is that festival to Melbourne even today?
Well, speaking for myself, it actually provided me with all of the sort of like modelling I needed to have, and the knowledge and experience in order to pull together events, to work on best production values, to sort of like have a legal understanding about where the arts fits in, how to market things, you know, well, and everything else. So it's in many ways, for me personally, it was just a place that did everything extremely well and extremely clearly, and with, you know, great technical success. And so for me, it was like just this great thing. I think for the people of Melbourne, it's a combination. I think the free events sort of really drag people out, and then they bring some of the stuff that you're never ever going to see except in a festival environment.
Absolutely. So and do you still feel that there's a need, you know, with Melbourne being such a hub for the arts these days, do you still think there's a need for the festival?
I think so, absolutely. For instance, like, the Arts Centre is the only other place in Melbourne that is really bringing out the calibre and the level of, and, you know, maybe Arts House do it a little bit as well, but the festival has a huge budget, and they get to handpick the stuff that sort of like is the most relevant and sort of like the, probably, you know, I don't like to use the word cutting edge, but sort of most contemporary work from the festival scene all around the world.
Yeah, and I think this last year's one, the Taylor Mac experience, you know, the buzz around that and the sheer volume of shows that the one artist performed, and you know, that it was just incredible. It was so groundbreaking to have something like that here.
Oh, exactly, and I think maybe that's because that spoke to a particular, you know, community here, but there's sort of like the festival's job has been to do that for lots of different communities and different types of artists and things, you know, over the long haul, and, you know, that's a really good example of when a festival gets it right. Yeah.
Now, tell us about Hares and Hyenas. You've been involved, you know, well, it's yours and your partner's baby.
Yeah, Ron and I started it in 1991 in Commercial Road, and for a little while when books were booming, we were in Brunswick Street, Fitzroy, and in Commercial Road, and then later Smith Street in Collingwood and Commercial Road. But then about coming up to 12 years ago this year, we packed up and moved to Fitzroy, which is really where we wanted to be, and we found a premises which we could also turn into a cafe, a bar, and a performance venue, which was really important for us because we knew that you needed that diversification of income and activity.
Yep.
to really create the sort of, I guess, the community feel and the vibe and everything to sort of really keep the books and everything else churning along.
Yeah. Well, just at that time as well was the unfortunate time of the downturn in the book industry, you know, like the bookshop industry, worldwide, not just here.
Yeah.
But it's bounced back again, hasn't it?
Yeah, look, I think it, like, anecdotally, we did really well last year in books in comparison to other years, and we sort of started finding that if Roland does all the book buying and if he picks well and he picks to his audience, we continue to keep on selling the volume that we need to keep going.
Brilliant. And I always thought it was very ambitious, but then again, it also made, you know, like, sense that you had a performance space in there with your background.
Yeah, well, we both have the background. Even when we first started Hares and Hyenas, we started doing events for Midsummer from the first year, and, you know, we've done several hundred. We had done several hundred events before we had a full-time venue, and we'd been dealing with artists from overseas, from around Australia, and really sort of like building a very diverse program that wasn't just around spoken word but was around things like music performance, forums and all cabaret, all sorts of different things like that, and performance art, because we felt that it all ties into what happens in amongst writers and artists in Melbourne.
Yep. So, Midsummer's here again.
It is.
And you guys have got a huge amount. It's almost like a phone book of events.
Yeah, there's 15 events on this year. We're coming up to the last day of our first week, even if it's an eight-day week, with a couple of really great cabaret shows tonight. The Peter Allen Live in Inverted Commas, performed by Matthew Hadgrave, is just incredible, and Leather Lungs, Son of a Preacher, the guy's just got an incredible voice, and you're really watching him really bring the show into a really great space now. So, and that's the end of it tonight, and then we go to Rapid Fire tomorrow night, which is sort of our signature spoken word event with 12 writers and six minutes each, and that's nearly sold out. And then next week we have the Tuesday to Thursday, we have another three-day cabaret season, and again with cabaret and theatre, in fact, with sort of like younger emerging performers.
So are you doing a bit of theatre as well?
Yeah, well, The Cabin is, I guess it's very, it's a combination of spoken word and theatre in a way. It's sort of small on props, but it's big on theatrical concept and idea. During the year, we often have theatre shows in seasons, in sometimes for a couple of weeks at a time.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, people are definitely starting to use the space as a theatre space, showing, live theatre as well. It's just fits all sorts of things. So really the only limitation, because I think the production elements of the venue are incredible. Like, we've got really good sound and we have really good staff and we have good infrastructure and facilities and things like that. So really the only limitation is somebody coming in and working out how to use the space, because they use the bar, they use the stairs, they use the stage, they use the open ground of the floor and the audience as well. So it's great.
So for people who haven't been, I suppose, what sort of capacity do you have in the studio?
We have a capacity of 80, and we can seat 80 people relatively comfortable if they haven't got too much going on in their AV or need more space. But we really tailor the way the space is set up to what's coming up. So for the cabaret over the last 3 days, and I'd imagine for the cabaret and theatre on Tuesday to Thursday next week, it'll be more intimate table setting.
Sure.
And whereas for Monday night with Rapid Fire, it'll just be jam packed full of seats, but everyone will get a view and a listen.
So just away from your programming for Midsummer,
yeah.
For anyone out there that is interested in using you, because, you know, like, it's sometimes a big leap for somebody that's just starting off as an artist in any shape or form, you know, like, what do you say to them? You know, how do you approach somebody new coming to you?
Well, for one thing, we have quite a few monthly types of events. Like, we have Lemon Comedy pretty much coming once a month. And so, like, if you're a comedian of any sort that sort of comes from a diverse background, that is definitely where they're looking for people. We have Taint, which is a monthly performance art cabaret. It's sort of a really good time to get up and just try anything out. And other than that, we do, like, if people have got a full concept for a show, we try to sit down with them and work out how it's going to come together.
So that's what I was actually going to ask you about this. So if somebody does have an idea for a show and they want to use your space, is that something you would work with?
Yeah, look, even as just this weekend, you know, there's a very good, well-thought-out event coming into the space, but it raised a few red flags about some of the expectations about it. And it was very easy just to sort of, like, from experience say, we don't actually think that's going to work brilliantly in this particular setting. You're almost talking about two events. And so, and that was just really simple. Now it's now actually turned into something which will work out really well, and everyone seems happy about taking that. So, yeah, we do definitely offer experience. We just never get involved in anything to do with content management or even feedback on the content. We really want to keep it really open content. Anyone can do anything there.
And how long out do you actually have to book in to have a show there?
We've had people book the week before when they've lost a venue, and we've been lucky enough to have a date or two, but we've just booked in the Ballarat Cabaret season, the Ballarat Federation University student cabaret class, graduating class shows, which will be happening in June. And we've got quite a few events in May, April and February and March are pretty much wrapped up. But at the same time, there are always, you know, here and there, just little spaces, and we just try to work with people to get the right one.
Yep.
We do a lot of community events, a lot of fundraising events, and we work really strongly with a lot of different community groups to help them develop sort of events in the shop, you know, for their people.
Fantastic. And where are you?
We're at 63 Johnson Street, Fitzroy. Yeah.
And when does the season finish for Midsummer?
Season finishes on Sunday the 4th of February with Gay Stuff Markets, and also with a free sort of, like, not so much experimental music, but a bit of a music experiment. A lot of people just get up and really play.
Jamming or?
Well, sometimes jamming, but generally they come prepared with what they want to present.
Oh, okay.
But it's really diverse, and that'll be happening during the markets this year into the evening. And, you know, and that follows 3 days with two of our, you know, really great resident people, which is Popo Moco, which is the physical comedy group who are just scoring goals everywhere.
We've had them on the show.
And Mikey J. White, who works at the shop and is the venue manager at night, he's doing his third in a row Midsummer show called Some Strings Attached.
Right.
Yeah.
Love it. So off the top of your head, five books that people must read that are from the last, say, 6 to 12 months?
That's very hard. all right. Sebastian Barry's Days That Never End, I think it's called. The book I'm reading at the moment, A Sinner in Mecca, A Gay Muslim's Hajj of Defiance. It's just really fascinating.
Okay.
About a guy who actually takes the Hajj to Mecca and films quite a bit of it, and then turns it into a film about homosexuality and Muslim. What else have I read? Learning What Love Means by, I can't remember his name, but he's just this amazing French writer, and he was the protege of Michel Foucault, and his father was one of the most famous publishers in France, and it's just a really beautiful, heartfelt book. Normally Norman. It's a kid's book, which is fantastic, because there is just so much stuff these days in kids picture books that just cover every aspect of gender and family type and personality and, you know, capabilities and everything. So I'm giving a big plug for the fact that our next generation of kids are actually getting nicely plied with a real understanding of what cultural diversity means.
Totally. It's a brave new world out there, isn't it? And I think it really has hit home here in Australia with the whole same-sex marriage. We didn't want it to happen the way it did, but I think at the end of the day, it's helped our community so much.
Yeah. Well, look, it certainly made a big impact on the shop over the last few months because it really brought people out. And I think it actually made a lot of people realise how central Hares and Hyenas is to this community and also how important it is to have a sort of like a space which is, you know, no space is ever completely safe, but it's non-judging and it's open and it's respectful of the people that come in there.
Brilliant.
And it's a good place to meet new people and have fun.
Yeah. Well, more important. And you're always going to see something, like a little bit breaking new ground as well. So get down to Hares and Hyenas. Always something to check out down there. Crusader, thank you so much for coming in today, and happy midsummer to you.
Oh, look, thank you, David. Thank you, Melton. It was lovely.
Thank you very much. You're here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.